إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, من لا يشكر القليل لا يشكر الكثير, ومن لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله. Whoever is not grateful for a little will not be grateful for a lot. And whoever does not thank the people has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَحَدُّثُ بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ شُكْرٌ وَتَرْكُهُ كُفْرٌ. And to mention and speak about Allah's favor is gratitude for His favor, and to not do so is ingratitude for His favor. وَالْجَمَعَةُ رَحْمَةٌ وَالْفُرْقَةُ عَذَابٌ. And unity, the community, is a mercy, and division is a torment. Separation is a torment. From the greatest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon a Muslim is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala unites their understandings and unites their ambitions. لِتَكُنْ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. So that they understand and they aspire to make the word of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala the uppermost, and to give i'la, and to give loftiness and exaltation to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to gather together in those places that are jawami', the masajid, the mashad jami', the mashad that gathers the people upon that guidance, and the masjid upon the sunnah. Without a doubt is a tremendous favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And taking advantage of such a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want to talk in the short amount of time that we have left, and I apologize because I need to return back to my room before the class, and secondly, I apologize that a good percentage of people in the Atlanta area cannot drive. No offense to the mustathniyat min al-asl, the exceptions to the rule. But we wanted to speak tonight about that blessing, and how rare that blessing is to have a masjid upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the importance of al-muhafadha, and of safeguarding this tremendous blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The masjid, the purpose of the masjid is to gather the people, to unite the people upon guidance. To unite the people upon guidance. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, تَجِدُ أَنَّ سُنَّةَ مَقْرُونَةٌ بِالْجَمَعَةَ كَمَا أَنَ الْبِدْعَةَ مَقْرُونَةٌ بِالْفُرْقَةَ. He says, you will find over and over again that sunnah is always coupled with unity, just like innovation is coupled with innovation. A sunnah is always coupled with unity, just as innovation is coupled with division. And the purpose of the masjid is just that. The intention behind building the masjid is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in His book, أَفَمَنْ أَسَّسَ بُنْيَانَهُ عَلَى تَقْوَى مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَضْوَانٍ خَيْرٍ أَمَّنْ أَسَّسَ بُنْيَانَهُ عَلَى شَفَى جُرُفٍ هَارٍ فَانْهَارَ بِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. As a person who built his bunyan, his structure, meaning his masjid, upon taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His good pleasure, better, or the person who built his structure upon the brink of collapse. And so he collapsed along with his building, meaning the masjid that he built, into the fire of hell, is a tremendous statement from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There's this tremendous praise for those that build their masajid upon the taqwa. And there's a tremendous criticism for those who build their masajid upon other than that. And so we know that the condition for the acceptance of an action is two things. Al-ikhlasu lil-ma'bud wal-mutaba'atu lil-rasul. It's to have sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a masjid is not, of course, exempted from that. And this is why we find in the tafsir of the scholars, particularly in the tafsir of the great Imam, the Mufassir, Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. And he mentioned from the benefits of this verse that any action that is built upon at-tawheed wal-mutaba'ah, al-ikhlas wal-mutaba'ah, then it is an action that is likely to succeed, is an action that is guaranteed success. And any action that is built upon other than that, then a person is threatened with the fire on account of it. And it is reported in the books of Sirah and in the books of Sunan that the masjid that was being referred to, the masjid Dirar that was built for ulterior motives to harm the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and so on and so forth, that after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had it burned to the ground, that more than 2 decades or 3 decades after it was burnt to the ground, you could still see the smoke coming from it. You could still see the smoke coming from it. فَانْحَارَ بِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. Collapse along with those that built it into the fire of hell. Wallahu al-musta'an. So this is something that is tremendous. That a masjid, that it is built upon the taqwa of Allah and His ridwan. The scholars, they say, meaning at-tawheed wa-sunnah, al-ikhlas wa-mutaba'ah, was built upon singling out Allah with worship and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is its risala. This is the message of the masjid. This is what the masjid is built upon. This is its mission, to call the people to the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and to call them to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the narrations that demonstrate that to us, is a narration, a tremendous narration that you may or may not have heard before, that is found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and elsewhere, in the authority of Abi Hurairah, radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna lil masajidi autada," that the masajid has autad, the masajid has stakes, poles, yani. You have a tent, and it's held up by poles. So the Prophet ﷺ, he called Ruwadul Masajid Autad. He called the people who frequent the masjid Autad. They are the pillars of the community. They hold up the masjid. Al Malaikatu Julasa'uhum. The masajid have Autad, and they have supporting pillars. The Malaika Julasa'uhum are their Julasa. The Malaika sit with them. In غَابُوا يَفْتَقِدُونَهُمْ. When they are absent from the masajid where they would normally be present, the angels look for them. وَإِنْ مَارِذُوا عَادُوهُمْ. And if they are ill, the angels visit them. وَإِنْ كَانُوا فِي حَاجَةٍ أَعَانُوهُمْ. And if they have any need to attend to, the angels help them. So the angels are giving us what? The angels are giving us a قُدْوَة. They are giving us a role model to follow, a pattern of behavior to follow in our أُخُوَة, in our brotherhood towards ourselves. The angels, when they don't see their brothers, they look for them. And when their brothers are ill, they visit them. And if their brothers have any need, a'anuhum, they help them. And this is without a doubt how we are supposed to be. And this by itself is a tremendous benefit that is amrun ghaybiyun makhfiyun anna. Something from the ghaib, from the unseen, that is obstructed from us, that we would not be able to know had not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that there are malaika that accompany the umar al masajid, the people who frequent the masjid, the people who enact the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. When you are free, then devote yourself to worship. And people who give a portion of their time to the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, ibadatan wa ta'alluman wa ta'aliman wa da'watan wa irshadan, and attending to worship, attending to learning and teaching, attending to the needs of their brothers and the likes of these things. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed that helping a Muslim brother in a need that he has is better than staying in the masjid. It's better than being in the masjid when he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, li an amshi ma'a akhi al-muslim fi hajatin hatta aqdiyaha lahu ahabbu ilayya min an a'takifa fi hadha al-masjid shahra. That I walk alongside my Muslim brother attending to a need of his until I make sure that he has fulfilled his need is more beloved to me than making i'tikaf in my masjid for an entire month. So the angels are giving us a pattern of behavior to emulate. And in غابوا يفتقدونهم وإن مرضوا عادوهم وإن كانوا في حاجة أعانوهم. And if they are absent, they look for them. If they are sick, they visit them. If they have needs, then they attend to their needs and help them with their needs. وَجَلِيسُ الْمَسْجِدْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ خِصَالَ. And the person who sits in the masjid benefits from three qualities. He benefits from three types of affairs. أَخِي مُسْتَفَادْ أَوْ كَلِمَةِ حِكْمَةٍ أَوْ رَحْمَةٍ مُنْتَظَرَةٍ. There are three things that he gets from sitting in the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. أَخِي مُسْتَفَادْ. The first is a brother that he could be of a benefit for. A brother that he could be of a benefit for. Perhaps his brother is new to Islam. He needs to learn how to make wudu correctly, how to pray correctly. There is not a Muslim who has been Muslim for any significant period of time except that he should have the ability to teach another Muslim, a new Muslim, how to do so. Perhaps his brother is newer to Islam, or newer to religiosity, or just has been Muslim for a long time but has not learned some things he needs to have learned. He doesn't know his Arabic alphabet. He doesn't know the abjadiyat of ilm, any of the elementary things concerning knowledge. So he finds his brother in the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I remember I was a new Muslim and a guy came up to me and he said to me, what are the three categories of Tawheed? I have been Muslim for like a week. I said, I have no clue. He said, then how are you Muslim? And I was ignorant. May Allah forgive him. I said, I would love to learn. You know, if you have something I can read. And he directed me towards the Noble Quran, the translation of the meanings of the Noble Quran by Muhammad Taqiyuddin Hilali and Muhammad Muhsin Khan. So he sees his brother in the masjid and he directs him towards some beneficial information. He teaches him something he doesn't know. He teaches him some of the du'as for the salat, some of their meanings and so on and so forth, some basic things of knowledge. Or his brother has another need he can attend to. And he sees that his brother is miskeen. He's young. He's unemployed. Whatever the case is with his brother. And so he knows that his brother can benefit from a couple of extra dollars. And so he leaves it in the pocket of his brother or in the hand of his brother. Especially if his brother is new to the masjid or new to Islam or new to Salafiyya or new to practicing his religion. Maybe he fell away from his religion and came back. Those sorts of things warm the hearts of people. أخي مستفاد. He will find in the masjid a brother that he could be of a benefit for in some type of way. أو كلمة حكمة. Or some words of wisdom that he can hear or teach to others. Words of wisdom, and which words are wiser than the words of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? And what words are more concisive after the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala than the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, بُعِثْتُ بِجَوَامِعِ الْكَلِمِ. I have been sent with the conciseness of speech. And in one narration, بُعِثْتُ بِفَوَاتِحِ الْكَلِمِ وَجَوَامِعِهِ وَخَوَاتِمِهِ. I have been sent with the best way to open up speech, to compose speech, and to conclude speech. And so they are words fi ghayatul ihkam, and at the highest level of itqan, of ihkam, of precision, kalimati hikmati, words of wisdom. Entire civilizations were built upon teaching the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masajid of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Or rahmatin muntadara, or the third thing, anticipated mercy, mercy that he can anticipate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know, the person who sits after the salah, remembering Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, so long as he is sitting and remembering Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the angels make dua for him. Allahumma ighfir lah, Allahumma arhamhu. O Allah, forgive him, O Allah, have mercy upon him. Rahmatin muntadara. So he can benefit from finding a Muslim that he can be of, and he come to the aid of, or learn or spread words of wisdom. Or he will find some mercy in the hereafter, meaning he can expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see in this narration that brotherhood and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, spreading it, is mentioned together in the same sentence, in the same breath. Just as we find all throughout the religion, all throughout the text of the religion, that the sunnah is coupled with unity. And so the masjid is the place that is most guaranteed to bring about this type of unity, and is the greatest institution in the Islamic society to bring about cohesion and harmony upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this reason, we find that the masajid were the places from which the sunnah was defended and innovation was warned against in the earliest generations of Islam. It was the place that was the fortress for the belief of the person. If a person was likely to be confused by some of the heresies, the maqalat, bid'iyah, some of the different innovations that spread concerning belief since the earliest of days, that only increased in severity as time went on, then the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was the most likely place where those things would be exposed, and where those heresies and innovations would be warned against. Ikrima ibn Ammar, he said, the Mu'adh ibn Mu'adh said, Sami'tu Ikrima ibn Ammar yaqulu linnas, I heard the scholar, or rather, Mu'adh ibn Mu'adh said, I heard Ikrima ibn Ammar saying to the people, Ahriju ala rajulin yara al-qadr illa qama fa kharaja ani fa inni la uhadithuhu. When the people would sit in the circles of learning and memorizing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the scholar of hadith, he would say that any man who is sitting here, who holds a deviant belief about the qadr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, rejecting the qadr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, or any other deviant belief concerning the qadr, I will not allow him to sit in this sitting of mine. I will not narrate to him a single hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any man who holds such a heresy. Abu Idris al-Khawlani, likewise, he said, he was from the scholars of Damascus, as we heard earlier in the khutbah. He was the one who took the mantle of scholarship to be the imam of the scholars of Damascus after the death of Mu'adh, who died earlier on, and the death of Abu Darda, who died later on, radiyallahu anhuma wa aradahuma. Abu Idris al-Khawlani, He said, لِأَنْ أَرَى فِي الْمَشْرِ نَارًا تَضْتَرِمْ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنَ أَنْ أَرَى فِي الْمَشْرِ بِدْعَةً لَمْ تُتَغَيَّرْ. He said that I see a bonfire blazing in the masjid, burning the masjid down, is more beloved to me than seeing a heresy, a heretical innovation in the masjid not being changed, not being warned against, and the likes of these things. So they understood that this is something that is detrimental to the purpose of the masjid. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith, من أتى المسجد لشيء فهو حظه. The person who comes to the masjid for any reason, then that is his portion that he gets from the masjid. That's what he gets. He gets what he came for. A person comes for fitna, he'll probably find some fitna. A person comes for confusion, for ghibah and namima, he might find somebody who will backbite and tell carry in the masjid. Allahu musta'an. And if he comes, and if for qila wa qan, and if for lahul kalam, and if for any just passing off the time, talking about things that are not beneficial, he can find that. If he comes for Qur'an, he will find the focus that he needs to memorize Qur'an. If he comes to memorize and review, he will find the focus that he needs for that. And perhaps brothers who can help him in that endeavor. مَنْ أَتَى الْمَشْهِدَ لِشَيْءٍ فَهُوَ حَظُّهُ. Whoever comes to the masjid for any reason, then that is his portion of what he takes away from it. He'll get from the masjid what he came for. So if a person comes to the masjid for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the least thing that a Muslim should be able to expect is to find the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam available in his masjid. Being taught in the masjid is astonishing. Wallahi, it's astonishing. That you find enormous Muslim diasporas, any Muslim communities, immigrant communities, or even communities like we have on the East Coast of people that, any 2-3 generations ago, their parents came to Islam, they identify with Islam. Now, everywhere you go in a city, a large city, you'll see Muslims, or people who identify as Muslims, people who give you the salams, people who have affinity for Islam, so on and so forth. And you might find 5, 10, 15 masjids in that city, but not a single masjid teaching the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teaching the creed of the sunnah, teaching the books of aqidah, teaching the core of the sunnah, the thing that is meant first and foremost and primarily by the word sunnah. Asul sunnah, usul sunnah. They're not learning the foundations of the creed of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And in many cases, they're not learning anything else. Perhaps they may have sittings for Qur'an. And this is something that is khair without a doubt. But it will not benefit them if they don't know its meanings. You have a guy that memorized the Qur'an from Fatiha to Nas, who says there's not a single evidence for Tawheed in the Book of Allah. Al-Qur'an kulluhu fit Tawheed. All the Qur'an is about Tawheed from its beginning to its end. How that benefit him? This is an approach to education, an approach to tarbiyah, to cultivation of the communities that was foreign to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon. We find in the hadith the tremendous companion Jundub al-Khair, Jundub ibn Abdullah. He said that we used to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we were young in age. وَكُنَّا نَتَعَلَّمَ الْإِيمَانَ قَبْلَ أَن نَتَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. And we will learn about iman, faith, belief, before we will learn the Qur'an. ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ فَازْدَدْنَا بِهِ إِيمَانًا. And then we learn the Qur'an, which increased us in our faith. So if a person doesn't understand the importance of what he is reciting, he doesn't have a proper creed even concerning the fact that the Qur'an is kalam Allahi ghayru makhluq. And the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, His uncreated eternal speech, tabarak wa ta'ala. He doesn't even have a proper creed concerning the Qur'an. And how is he going to give it his due importance? And how is he going to establish himself upon it? And recite it with the proper recitation, follow with the proper following. And so the masjid is a place where the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is distinguished from everything that opposes it. And this is a tremendous statement from Abu Idris al-Khawlani, that I would see a fire blazing in the masjid is more beloved to me than seeing an innovation not being changed, an innovation in the masjid that is not being changed. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said as regards the importance of learning the sunnah and the effect that that has in keeping the masjid in its proper role, keeping the masjid according to the proper message and the proper mission of the masjid. He said, لَوْلَا أَصْحَابُ الدَّفَاتِرِ لَخَطَبَتَ زَنَادَقَةُ عَلَى الْمَنَابِرِ. If it weren't for the students of knowledge with their notebooks, then the zanadiqa would end up giving the khutab from the manabir. Then the heretics, zanadiq, and the zindiq, zindiq is a Persian word, the scholars say, that means munafiq. It's a Persian word that means munafiq. A person who's trying to destroy Islam from within, feigning Islam in order to destroy it from within. Were it not for ashabu dafatir wa hamalatul mahabir, لَخَطَبَتَ زَنَادَقَةُ عَلَى الْمَنَابِرِ. If it weren't for the students of knowledge with their ink pots and their notebooks, then the heretics would give the khutab from the manabir. And so you find the people of today and these innovations that are gharidha, that are severe, the innovations of a tasawwuf, of al-ittihad wal-hulul, of claiming that Allah and the creation is one and the same. The belief in wahdat al-wujud, the belief that Allah becomes incarnate in the creation. Calling to madhahib haddama, bismil Islam, wa bismil deen. Saying, as they used to say 30 years ago, 40 years ago, ishtirakiyatun islamiyya, Islamic socialism. And as they say today, Islamic democracy. You have anything that you can imagine, you just put the label Islam on it, and people will be fooled by it, so long as those that they respect and those that they honor and view to be knowledgeable about their religion, and representatives of their religion, are rubber stamping it and giving it the approval, and promoting it. So this is a tremendous statement to remind us of the importance of this affair, of the masajid being ma'aqid as-sunan, being dar as-sunnah, the lands of the sunnah, the homes of the sunnah. Without a doubt, knowledge was lost. Much of knowledge was lost. Nothing of the religion is lost. And however, knowledge departed a great deal from the earth. It is still found in the hearts of the scholars, it is still found in the books and so on and so forth. However, the attention that the people have given to knowledge has departed greatly. There's a tremendous book by Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimullah ta'ala, that is called Al-Amsar Dhawatul Athar, the lands of the narrators, or the lands of the narrations. And he begins with the Haramain, with Medina and then Mecca. And he names the scholars of Hadith, the main imams of the Sunnah, from the Sahaba, and then from their students, from the Tabi'een, and then from the latter or middle Tabi'een, and then the elder, Kibar Tabi Tabi'een, and then the next Tabaqa, and then the next Tabaqa. And so he reaches about 300 years in the history of Islam, or in some cases 150, in some cases 200 years. ثُمَّ ذَهَبَ ذَلِكَ وَتَلَاشَى. And then that departed and it vanished. City after city, 42 cities, from the east to the west. From the land behind the Jihun and Sihun River, the lands like Samarkand and Bukhara, all the way to Muslim Spain. ثُمَّ ذَهَبَ ذَلِكَ وَتَلَاشَى. Then that departed and it vanished. The Sunnah still exists, But the importance that people give it isn't anywhere close to what it used to be. There are so many narrations that show us the importance and the respect that was given to the Imams of the Sunnah and the scholars in the early generations of Islam, and how the dignitaries, no matter what their status was in the society, how they would humble themselves from the people of rulership and the people of wealth and status, they would humble themselves and sit in the majalisul ilm, that no one viewed themselves to be too good to sit in the classes and to sit in the circles of knowledge. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, when he mentions the biography of Ali ibn al-Husayn rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدِ تَخَطَّ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَجْلِسَ فِي حَلَقَةِ زَيْدِ بْنِ أَسْلَمِ. He said that Ali ibn al-Husayn, who was from the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was from the leaders of the Quraysh, so that when he would enter into the masjid, he would penetrate the crowds, any of the people sitting, he would make his way through the crowd, moving people to the side to get as close as he could to sit in the circles of Zayd ibn Aslam. Zayd ibn Aslam was a Nubian free slave, dark-skinned. He was the imam, he was from the most respected people. He was the most respected scholar in his tabaqah, in his time, from the scholars of Medina. And so it was stated by one of the dignitaries of Quraysh, Nafi ibn Jubair ibn Mut'im ibn Adi. Nafi ibn Jubair ibn Mut'im, who was the grandson of Mut'im ibn Adi, and he was from the leaders of the disbelievers that used to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He died upon disbelief, to show you his status. And this is a man who, his grandfather, used to protect the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he died upon disbelief. But that shows you that they were powerful. If his grandfather could guarantee the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the fact that many of Quraysh wanted to do away with him. So he's from the dignitaries. Nafi ibn Jubair ibn Mut'im. He said to him, غفر الله لك. He said, may Allah forgive you. May Allah forgive you. He thought that what he was doing was undignified. أنت سيد الناس وقرأيش. You are the leader of the people and you are the leader of the Quraysh. You are the best, the most elite from the people, from the most noble blood, and the highest of people in status. تأتي تخطي حلق أهل العلم حتى تجلس مع هذا العبد الأسود. He says, you're going to penetrate the crowds of the people and push your way through until you sit with this black slave. Until you sit with this black slave. Meaning as a dignitary, he didn't think that that was from appropriate conduct. فَقَالَ لَهُ عَلِيَ بْنَ الْحُسَيْنِ. Ali ibn al-Husayn, he said to him, إِنَّمَا يَجْلِسُ الرَّجُلُ حَيْثُ يَنْتَفِعُ. He said, a man only sits where he can benefit. A man should only sit where he can benefit. وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمُ يُطْلَبُ حَيْثُ كَانَ. And knowledge is to be pursued wherever it is found. Knowledge is to be pursued wherever it is found. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned how taqwa and iman elevates the person, and how al-ibra fi kamal al-nihayat la fi naqs al-bidayat, and how the consideration to take is how perfect the end result of the affair will be, and not what is missing in the beginning and the difficulties and challenges a person goes from the beginning. He said, how much is the difference between the departure of the human being from the Jannah in a disgrace state, until he enters the paradise, having believed in Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the most honored state. He said, and how much is the difference between Bilal when he was in Mecca being tormented by the people and persecuted to the point that he was forced to leave. And his entering Mecca, not just entering Mecca, but putting his feet on top of the Kaaba to call out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. The feet of a black slave being on top of the Kaaba, on top of the roof of the Kaaba, to call out the Adhan. This is what honored the people in the early generations of Islam. The scholars were like that. They had that type of diversity. We find some hamqa. يَحْمِلُونَ شَهَادَاتٍ زُورٍ carrying false testimonies with them. Although they graduated from Islamic universities, coming back to the States, proclaiming themselves to be our scholars, and telling us in the United States of America that the scholars in Saudi Arabia and Yemen and Egypt and so on and so forth have no business giving us fatwa about what's going on in our land. And until they come and they live with us and they know what our situation is, that we should not ask them for fatwa in our religion. Allahu Akbar. And you have scholars right there with you in the United States. Who do they mean? Allahu Akbar. Ru'us al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin. The heads of the Muslim Brotherhood in America. These deviant organizations like ISNA and ICNA and so on and so forth, calling them scholars, people whose claim to Islamic scholasticism came from Oxford University or Harvard or Cambridge, or these sorts of institutions that were set up by the Mustashriqun, by the Orientalists, to dismantle Islam. Those are our scholars. Pray for death if those are your scholars. Allahu Musta'an. And they say, what does an Indian scholar or an Arab scholar or a scholar of another nationality know about what we're going through as indigenous Muslims in the United States of America? Allahu Akbar. What does that have to do with the price of tea in France? That you would bring up the race of a person, the nationality of a person, so on and so forth. The people will come from the ends of the earth. They will come from the ends of the earth to Medina and to Mecca and to Basra and to Kufa and later on to Baghdad and to Egypt and other places to sit at the feet of the scholars. And they will see the scholars from everywhere. After the death of Abdullah bin Abbas, the scholar that took his place was Atai ibn Abi Rabah, who was a black free slave. After his death, the scholar that took his place was Abdul Malik ibn Juraij, who was white-skinned, and who was a free slave from the Romans. Look at that type of diversity. The imams of the Sunnah in Mecca goes from an Arab Qurashi to a freed Ethiopian slave to a freed European slave. Nobody was saying, what does he know about the struggles that we're going through in Asbahan? What does he know about what we're going through in Ethiopia? What does he know about what we're going through wherever they may be from? And so the Sunnah is what raised the people and what gave people importance in the society. There's a tremendous statement by Al-Alaka'i rahimahullah ta'ala. In closing, I know it's late. Where he spoke about the reality of the masajid in the early generations of Islam and how there were places where the sunnah was taught and how the scholars warned against those that introduced things into the religion, deviant beliefs and so on and so forth that had no place and had no basis in the text. He said, وَحَثَ الْعُلَمَاء عَلَى طَلَبِهِمْ وَأَمَرُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِمُجَانَبَتِهِمْ وَنَهَوْهُمْ عَنْ مُكَالَمَتِهِمْ وَنِسْتِمَاءِ إِلَيْهِمْ وَنَخْتِرَاتِ بِهِمْ. He said, speaking about the early generation of the Tabi'een, the beginning stage of the tabi'een, of the second generation of Islam, the outer tabi'een. He said the scholars encourage the people of authority to pursue them and to deal with them as they deserve to be dealt with, meaning the innovators. And they openly ordered the Muslims to abandon the people of innovation. And they forbade them from speaking to them or listening to them. وَالِخْتِيَلَاتِ بِهِمْ or intermingling and socializing with them. لِسَلَامَةِ أَدْيَانِهِمْ وَشَحَرُوهُمْ عِنْدَهُمْ بِمَنْ تَحَلُوا مِنْ أَرَائِهِمْ الْحَدِيثَ وَمَذَاهِبِهِمْ الْخَبِيثَ خَوْفًا مِنْ مَكْرِهِمْ أَنْ يُضِلُّ مُسْلِمًا عَنْ دِينِهِ بِشُبْحَةٍ وَامْتِحَانٍ وَبِزُخْرُ فِي قَوْلٍ مِنْ لِسَانٍ. He said, in order to protect their religion, and they expose them for the innovated opinions that they carried, and the filthy beliefs that they had, out of fear that they would lead a Muslim astray, out of fear that they would lead a Muslim astray with a doubt, or put him to trial, or that they would beautify their words with their tongues. وَكَانَتْ حَيَاتُهُمْ كَوَفَاتٍ وَأَحْيَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ النَّاسِ كَالْأَمْوَاتِ. And so the innovators, in the time of the early tabi'een, they were an extreme minority. And their lives were like they were dead already. And those that were alive on the face of the earth, they were like zombies on the face of the earth. الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْهُمْ فِي رَاحَةٍ وَأَدْيَانُهُمْ فِي سَلَامَةٍ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ سَاكِنَةٍ وَجَوَارِحُهُمْ هَادِيَةٍ. And so the Muslims were at peace from them, and their religions were safe from them, and their hearts were spared from them, and their limbs were spared from them. وَهَذَا حِينَ كَانَ الْإِسْلَامُ فِي نَظَارَةٍ وَأُمُورَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي زِيَادَةٍ. And this is at a time where Islam was at its brightest and its pinnacle, and the affair of the Muslims was constantly increasing and improving. Up until he said, may Allah have mercy upon him, لم ترى دعوتهم انتشرت في عشرة من منابر الإسلام متوالية. And then after that time, some of the خاصة الناس and عوام, some of the elites and some of the commoners started to latch on to the innovations and support them and promote them, and became infatuated with them and defended them and argued in defense of them and so on and so forth. He said, but despite that, in that time, لَمْ تَرَ دَعْوَتُهُمْ انتَشَرَتْ فِي عَشَرَةِ مِنْ مَنَابِرَ الْإِسْلَامُ مُتَوَالِيًا. In the latter time of the tabi'een, in the early part of the tabi'een, of the third generation of Islam, he said, you never saw their da'wah spread in 10 pulpits from the pulpits of Islam at the same time. وَلَا أَمْكَنَ أَن تَكُونَ كَلِمَتُهُمْ بَيْنَ الْإِسْلَامِ عَالِيًا. We'll close with this. And it was not possible that their beliefs will become exalted and glorified amongst the Muslims. وَمَقَالَتُهُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ ظَاهِرَةً بَلْ كَانَتْ دَاحِظَةً وَضِيعَةً مَحْجُورَةً وَكَلِمَةُ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ ظَاهِرَةً. But rather their statement was vanquished, defeated, humiliated, and boycotted and abandoned. And the word of the people of Sunnah was preeminent and dominant. وَمَذَاهِبُهُمْ كَالشَّمْسِ نَائِرَةً. And their beliefs were shining like the radiant sun upon the earth. وَنُصُبُ الْحَقِّ زَاهِرَةً وَعَلَامُهَا بِالنَّصْرِ مَشْهُورَةً وَعَدَاؤُهَا بِالْقَمْعِ مَقْحُورَةً. And the people of the Sunnah had guideposts to direct them back to the Sunnah in every land. And the enemies of the Sunnah, they were suppressed. يُنْتَقُ بِمَفَاخِيرِهَا عَلَى عَوَادِ الْمَنَابِرِ. And the proud qualities of the Sunnah were proclaimed from above the wooden planks of the pulpits. وَتُدَوَّنُ مَنَاقِبُهَا فِي الْكُتُبِ الدَّفَاتِرِ. And the virtues of the Sunnah and its people were written for posterity and for the historical record in the books and in the notebooks. وَتُسْتَفْتَحُ بِهَا الْخُطَبُ وَتُخْتَمُ. And the sermons began and ended with the exaltation of the Sunnah. وَيُفْصَلُ بِهَا بِينَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ وَيُحْكَمُ وَتُعْقَدُ عَلَيْهَا الْمَجَالِسُ وَتُبْرَمُ وَتَظْهَرُ عَلَى الْكَرَاسِ وَتُدَرَّسُ وَتُعَلَّمُ. And the sunnah was used as a criterion to distinguish between truth and falsehood, and to judge against falsehood. And the sittings of the people would begin and they would conclude with the mention of the sunnah. And it was that which was most obvious upon the chairs of learning, and that which was taught, and that which the people were educated with. And this is where we want to try to restore ourselves and emulate with the Salaf were upon. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to teach us that which we don't know, and to allow us to benefit from that which we have learned, and to increase us in knowledge. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.